ransom, the price or payment made for our redemption, as when it is said that the Son of Man gave his life a ransom for many. Our debt is not canceled, but fully paid. The slave or captive is not liberated by the mere favor, but a ransom price has been paid, in consideration of which we are set free. The original owner receives back his lost possession because he has bought it back with a price. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, that man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins.
To Ephesians chapter 5. We've been in the series here on being filled with the Spirit, and the Greek means being filled with the Spirit. Keep on being filled with the Spirit. It's just not one time and it's it. It's just being filled up every day. So that's pretty neat. Our children, second grade and down, may be dismissed if you didn't hear me there. But it's neat to see that. And the big phrase I want you to catch at the end of verse verse 21, it says, in the fear of God, in the fear of God. I do believe we need a dose of fear of God in our culture today. We need to have some fears. On August the 21st, Monday, at 1:15 in the afternoon, we're going to have the beginning of a total eclipse, okay? And it takes 90 minutes for it to get there. We're going to see it start, and it's going to have a total eclipse. It'll be completely done at 2:45 in the afternoon, and it takes 2 minutes and 40 seconds for it to stay there, and then it'll go on. It'll come in. And then it'll be there for 2 minutes and 41 seconds and it'll go out, okay? Do you know if you look at that part very long, even though it's an awesome event, hasn't happened since, 1978, something like that? Will it be good for your eyes to look at that very long? So you better fear looking at that with your naked eye, okay? You need some right glasses to see it. And everybody's going to be looking at it. Do you think some people won't heed the part if you look at it too long, you might go blind? There'll be people that probably go blind. Is that true? There needed to be a healthy fear that you just can't know, oh, that's cool. You know, no, that's serious. And it's an awesome event, the eclipse of the sun. But it's something that we need to take serious. We need to have fear of machines, okay? This machine... Terrible machine. I should have glued it. Ron Lee's dad gave Tim one Christmas. Remember that? He built this monstrosity so Tim couldn't get hurt by this thing. He made a saw for him, and oh, it was a magnificent. You should have seen Tim when he opened it up. I think he was about 10 or 11.
Eight.
He goes, what is it? I don't know what it is, you know. He was wanting to make it so safe that it wasn't even usable, okay? And but her dad feared that it would hurt Tim. Is that right? That is a healthy fear. Is that right? The fear of God, we're going to talk about it this morning, is a healthy thing. And to have fear of machinery, saws, is a healthy thing. Is that true? If you ever lose fear and you're working with saws, you're in trouble. Fire. Is fire, you know, wonderful last night? How many turned the heat on? Okay. Fire is a wonderful thing, but it can sure hurt you. Is that right? There needs to be a healthy fear of fire and stuff. There needs to be a healthy fear of speeding down the road to policemen. I have a rule. I go about 5 to 7 miles over, and that's it. Put my thing up and just go. I've never gotten picked up yet, and I wave at them as I go by. And that is something. Now I see people going. I know one person said that they don't drive under 80 anytime. I said, "How much have you paid?" And they said, "A lot." I said, "Now that is foolish in my book, okay? But is there a healthy fear? Is it good not to speed down the road going 150? You know, some of the roads, the road up to Paw there on is that 40? Is that 40? Huh? 40? That road is straight. Oh my! How many agree with me? Come on, give me your hands. How many agree? That's a wonderful road. And but you got to have a healthy fear because things can happen and it's terrible there. I want you to think about fear, and I don't want you to think of it as bad because God never keeps anything from us that's for our good. Do you believe that? And there's some things we need to be cautious about. And our whole statement at the end of our text in verse 21, it says, in the fear of God. And that is a healthy statement to, you know, the stove that you have in your house, it's wonderful to cook stuff on it. At least it's wonderful when Ron Lee cooks it on it, okay? But have you ever touched the stove when it's hot? Oh, man. Don't touch it. Don't touch it. We'd tell Tim, don't touch it. Tim would do what? Two ways to learn, is that right? Listen, watch somebody else do stupid stuff, don't do it, or do it yourself. And fear, the fear of the Lord. Think about this. Mr. Herring, come and read our text. Ephesians 5.
It is Ephesians 5. If you forgot your Bible this morning, you have a red pew Bible right in front of you. It's on page 866. When you do find your place, please stand with me if you're able, please, as we honor God's words this morning. Starting at 17. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. You may be seated. Thank you.
Note here, the first one is don't be drunk with wine. We spent some time on that. I trust there is some healthy fear of drinking. The Bible says don't look at wine when it turns in the cup. Is that what it says? Be careful! In those days, they drank more than in our day, and they didn't have good water. We have all kinds of good stuff. We have Simply Orange. What else do you need? You know, and they didn't, so they did drink. They used the vine, and it fermented naturally. Can we control that today? We can control all of that stuff today. And I don't see a good use for it. We have medicine. The Bible used it for medicine. The Bible used it for depression. But we have medicine today. I want to say strongly, be careful. Fear, is that right? Fear. And there it says, don't be drunk with wine. Don't even get close there. But it says, be filled with the Spirit. Be drunk with the Spirit. Be controlled by the Spirit. Be consumed. Be obsessed by the dominated, saturated, guided by the Spirit. The Spirit is just to this, just totally control us like drinks would control us and make us do things that we wouldn't naturally do. That's what the Holy Spirit is supposed to do in our lives, and it's wonderful. Be filled with the Spirit and let it just dominate your life, and it is wonderful. And then it says, giving thanks one to another. Let's go to Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. Keep your place in Ephesians, and let's go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. It says, giving thanks. And it's awesome to catch that and to be real with it. Verse 17, it says, and whatsoever ye do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him, in the fear of God. We talked about being thankful. I don't think we're thankful enough. I'm not going to spend much time there. But you can either gripe and complain, or you can be thankful. You can either be a person that's negative, or you can be thankful. Is that right? You might as well go around looking for things to be thankful for. And either in James it says to either be praising God or praying. And thanksgiving makes a person sweet. Thanksgiving in the fear of God. Secondly, we hit the issue of music. It's in Colossians 3:16. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing, giving caution, rebuking one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord in the fear of God. Is that right? That's so important that we have music that raises us upward to God. God. We have music that feeds our spirit, not our flesh. We have music that we don't worship, but it creates worship. And we have truth. And we spent some time on that with our church, and it's music. It's an issue. If you've not read our paper on the church music debate, we gave it out for two Sundays. Please read that. I work so hard at being balanced there because we have four generations and we need to get along. Is that right? That's very important. And I'm in the upper level, so I have to bend a lot. I have three younger than me. And that's hard sometimes because my hearing's getting bad, huh? You know, and all of that. Loud music bothers me more than it used to. Is that true? You know, amen. What'd you say? And, you know, we're different. We're all different. And some of you already said if there's not country music in heaven, you're not going. You know, and so those are, you know, I don't make any opinion on that. But it says, singing with grace. Is that right? Grace. That you're thankful. You've been saved. That singing should be a result of grace. In your heart, it should come from your soul to the Lord. Is that right? And in the fear of God. Thirdly, it's in we say it here, and it's in Colossians chapter 3, verse 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. It's spent a lot of time. Submitting yourselves to others in the fear of God. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 18, it says, wives, what is wives supposed to do? That wasn't too good. That wasn't too good. Wives. Wives. Man, y'all are doing terrible. 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 Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband. It is fitting in the Lord. Yield. Respect. Surrender. Husbands. Husbands, what? Hey, you did better. You did. Husbands, what? That is selflessness. That is putting your wife first. And all the way of life said, yeah. Boy, y'all doing bad, ladies. I'm missing it. I'm missing it. But it is important that, do you know, love is submission too? Love is submission. Note it says, submit yourselves to what? Everybody. Husbands, if you think you don't supposed to submit to your wife, you're missing it. Because you are to love her. That is selflessness. That is what is best for them, not yourselves. And it says, husbands, verse 19, Colossians 3, verse 19. Husbands, love your wives. Be not bitter against them. They're different. They think different. They have emotions. And you better not be bitter against them. Is that right? Can it get easy? It's easy, you know. You know, my wife brings up an issue, and I'm ready to solve it. She doesn't want a solution. She just wants me to listen. So that's called love. So that's there you go.
Right answer.
You know, you got to have it. It says, wives, submit, yield. Husbands, love. Both of them are submission. Both of them are put the other first. Meet their need, not your own. Don't be selfish. Children, verse 20. Children, what? Man, all the teenagers. Teenagers. I tell you, let's get it. Let's get it. Okay. Teenagers, obey. Children, obey. That's the only rule. Do you know in the Garden of Eden there was only one rule? Don't eat of that one tree. You can eat of all the rest of them, but that one. We parents have many more rules. Children and teenagers, your only rule is obey. Honor. It says, children, obey. In Ephesians 6, verses 1 to 4, if I trust you're still there. Ephesians 6, keep your place in Colossians 3, we're coming right back. In Ephesians 6, 1 to 4, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that ye, it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long upon the earth. If you want to be happy, obey your parents. Is that pretty simple? If you want to have life that's real, obey your parents. It's very important. Well, I want to do my own thing. You're going to be unhappy. Do we have a lot of unhappy teenagers and children today? A lot. A lot. And it is so important that we catch that. Back to verse 4. Let's read verse 4. Ephesians 6, verse 4. It says, "And ye fathers, parents, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture, the discipline, the training, the modeling, the mentoring, the instructing, the teaching and admonition of the Lord, to bring them to a place where you have such discipline and an instruction that they shall become personally acquainted and in love with the Lord, the joy of serving Him, to joyfully serve Him." Man, well, it's our job as parents. Parents, wives, submit. Husbands, love. Children, obey. Parents, you bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. You be careful. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 21, let's all go there. We're not going to go back to Ephesians. We're in Colossians 3. These are sequel passages. Ephesians 5 and Colossians 3. Fathers, Colossians 3:21. Provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Don't give unreasonable commands. Don't give needless severities and everything. Come on. Is that very important? Submit. Parents, be wise. Is that right? Be caring. Give direction. I'm finding there's not enough parents that give direction. Do teenagers need direction and love and compassion and listening? They need direction. This is God's way. Go in it. My parents gave me direction. I was a senior, and my dad said, "You're going to Bible college." Do you know what I did? Went to Bible college. And I don't think everybody should stay in Bible college forever, but I think it's a good place to see if God's going to call you. I really do. We're working on getting some Bible Institute training here. Pastor Kyle's working on that. And you should be trained in the Bible. Is that right? You should be trained to know the Bible. We're going to work on that. And that is something that, you know, "I don't know much about the Bible." Well, you should know something about the Bible. That's God's life. So this is submitting one another in the fear of God. Wives, husbands, children, parents. And then verse 22, servants and masters. And the fear of God. That's what I want you to catch. The fear of God is so important to realize and say, "God, this is what you want me to do, and I am going to submit to it, and I am going to walk in the fear of God." Put this next picture up. Put the next picture up. This is in your bulletin. This is in your bulletin. It's on the front of your bulletin, so you need to use it and read it. It says, "I will give them singleness of heart and action so that they will always fear me." Hit the next thing there. "For their own good and the good of their children." And put the lines under those. Those are so important to catch that. And it says, "After them, I will make an everlasting covenant with them. I will never stop doing good to them, and I will inspire them to fear me so that they will never turn away from me." Fear is good. That's all I want you to catch, that I'm doing this so that you and your children will understand me and go my way and obey my way and love my way so that they will be blessed. That's what you do when you teach your children to handle a saw. Is that right? When you teach your children about fire. When you teach your children, don't run out in the street chasing a ball. Is that right? Every child needs to be taught that. Especially if you live where I live, okay? The balls go out in the street. No, we can get new balls, but we can't get new kids, okay? Some of them I might send out into the street. I'm not heartless, just fun. Okay, but it is, you don't, you teach it, don't run out, you know, the ball goes out in the street and you say what? Stop! It is very important that parents, when your child hears you say stop, that they stop, because it could save their life one time. Is that true? We have some that, why? You know, they're not used to obeying. That's why children need to obey. And since God told children to obey, the Bible also says in the opposite, parents, give your children something to obey and make it stick. It's very important. If you can't say to your kid, don't touch that, and they don't touch it. If you can say that to your children and they go ahead and do it, you've not done something properly. They know you don't mean it. And there are some terrible things out there today. There is addictions out there that are terrible. They can get into drugs that are over-the-counter drugs and prescription drugs addiction. Is that true? There's a lot of that. And you realize, don't do that. Then you realize that's serious business. And kids, we don't do that. And but good, fear is good. It's good for you and your kids to do right. And right makes you happy. Holiness makes you happy. I just wanted to catch that. It's good. The definition of fear. Put this one up. This is right inside of your bulletin. This is really good. I don't know where I got it, but it's good. It says, an awareness, not catch every word, the fear of God, an awareness that you are in the presence right now of a holy, just and almighty God. Wow. And that He will hold you, what's this word? Say it louder. For your motives, thoughts, words, and actions. That's enough for you to learn right there. That's why you fear God. I'm going to give an account. You're going to give an account of what you did yesterday, the words you spoke yesterday, the thoughts you had, the motives you had, the actions you had. Is that right? You're going to give an account. Wow. That's the fear of God, that He's the one that can bless you. You give an account to your dad or a person that's in charge of you. And if you did a great job, your boss, does he bless you? That was great. But if you slept the whole time, didn't do anything, you don't want to see Him. That is so good there. It says, we'll hold you accountable for your motives, thoughts, words, and actions. To fear God is to desire to live in harmony with His righteous standards in the Bible and to honor Him in all that you do. Now, that's pretty good. That's in your bulletin. That's in your bulletin. Stick it on your refrigerator. That's excellent. I just couldn't get a better definition of stating that this is what we need to have. Put the next slide up. This is an excellent slide too. I worked on this hard. I took it from somebody else and then tweaked it all over the place. If you want to start looking at these verses down at the bottom, go to Deuteronomy 31. Everybody turn to Deuteronomy 31. You see we're going to 31, we're going to 13, we're going to 14. It is very important that what does it really mean to daily live in the fear of God? I want you to know I have to work on that every day. Do y'all know that? Because my flesh would like to forget that there's an accountability. My flesh would like to do what it wants to do. And my evilness would like to come out. And my selfishness and my pride and my jealousy and my lust. Is that true? It's all there. And I have to say no. Or I have to say, yes, I'm going to do this. I'm not going to do that, but I'm going to do this. And that's the fear of God. The fear of God. Number one, the fear of God. Let's go through it as your turn. I want you all to turn to Deuteronomy. Everybody, Deuteronomy 31:11. It says, it means you get saved so not to receive God's wrath and punishment in hellfire forever. For God, let's all say it together, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not but have everlasting life. That's the fear of God. If I don't get saved, I'm going to get His wrath and punishment. Is that right? Either I'm going to get Jesus to pay my punishment or I'm going to pay my own punishment because I'm accountable to the Almighty. That's heavy. Why? Why do I get saved? Because I got a wonderful God. But one point is, because if I don't, there is punishment. In the great love verse of John 3:16, there's punishment. And either or, it is. Why do I fear God? Why? Because He's the Savior. Don't fear Him who can destroy the body. Fear Him who can destroy the soul and the body in hell. That's God. Wow, He loves me. That's a wonderful story. But if I don't receive His love, I'm going to receive His wrath and punishment. And man, I don't want that. So I get saved. I get saved. You're not saved here this morning. You got to get saved. Or you don't receive His love. It's just not a loving daddy up there just throwing love out all over the place. He expects you to respond in commitment, belief, acceptance, repentance, and trust in Him, the only Savior of the world. And if you don't, you better fear Him. Because He's not just coming as a lovey big daddy. He's coming as a just and holy, almighty God. Wow. Second, after you're saved, you got to get saved. Second, it means you constantly feed your conscience with God's holy truth, the Bible, so to not lose any of God's earthly blessings or eternal rewards, that we lose not. We're not going to lose our salvation. In 2 John verse 8, it says, "Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward." That's heavy. I fear God. Why? I'm gonna submit to my husband. I'm gonna love my wife. I'm gonna obey my parents. I'm gonna be a good parent. I'm gonna nurture an admonition of the Lord. I'm gonna be a good employee. I'm gonna be a good boss. Is that right? Because I'm gonna stand before God. And I don't wanna lose any blessings. Ronnie and I have been talking about the blessings of God. We've had a blessed life. Huh? I want you to think about it. You know, so many blessings and God's favor. And it amazes me every day. Amazes me every day. You need to realize that. God says, if I will walk with Him, He will bless me. And then in heaven, there's a reward. He is the rewarder of them that what? Diligently seek Him. And I'm going to constantly feed my conscience on the Word of God, and so I not lose these earthly blessings and my eternal rewards. Amen. That's powerful, powerful. The last one. It says, it means you avoid displeasing or grieving the God that you love, trust, serve, and worship above all. That is 1 John 2:28. And you know, you don't be ashamed at His coming. Whoa. That you do everything to avoid displeasing God or grieving Him, because He's the one you love and trust and serve and worship above all. Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy 31, I trust you there. It says, Deuteronomy 31 verse 11, "When all Israel is come to appear before the Lord thy God in the place which He hath chose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing." Verse 12, "Gather the people together, men and women and children and thy strangers." Does that cover everybody? That's why we have church, okay? "That is within thy gates, that they may hear," and that they may what? "Learn and fear the Lord your God, and to observe all to do all the words of this law, to obey, and their children which have not known anything may hear and learn to
hear."
Learn to
hear.
Does fear have to be learned? Yes. There is an image of God in us some, yes. But a good, healthy fear has to realize that God's not keeping us from some good times. When He says, hey, watch out you're drinking. Watch out that you be thankful. Watch out that you sing praises to God. Watch out that you submit yourselves to one another. Is He trying to tell you how to have a happy life? And a holy life, and a good life, and a fulfilling life, and a meaningful life, that you learn this is what you're to do, this is what you're not to do. And you have to learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land, whether ye go to the Jordan to possess it. You got to learn. Deuteronomy 13, verse 4. Flow back there. Deuteronomy 13, verse 4. I don't think I'm going to get through all of these. Please write these down. Please write these down. I don't have this written totally for you in the bulletin. It's different. But these texts are just very good texts. You can write those down on your back of your bulletin. Deuteronomy 13:4, it says, ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear Him. Here's how to do it. And keep His commandments and obey His voice, His leading, and ye shall serve Him and cleave unto Him. Get in step with Him. Stay close to Him. It is amazing to learn to fear God. And then it says, and you don't have to turn to anymore, in Nehemiah 5, verse 15, Nehemiah says, there were governors that used to take advantage of you and overcharge you and take all your food and take all your money to tax you and to be burdensome on you and to force you for tariffs and ruled heartlessly on you. But Nehemiah said, I love what he says, but I did not, because of the fear of God. I'm the leader. And he says, other people cheat you and other people abuse you and misuse you. But he says, I'm going to stand before God for being the leader of this group. And he says, I'm not going to do that. And you're going to stand for God as a parent. You're going to stand for God as a teenager. You're going to stand before God. And you've got to realize, that's wrong. That's right. I'm not doing that. I'm doing that because why? I fear God. He's going to hold me accountable. He knows my motives. He knows my actions. He knows my hearts. This is what it's all about. Job 1:1, first verse in Job, it says Job was a powerful man, a rich man. And it says he eschewed God, eschewed evil and feared God. When you fear God, you stay away from evil. That's what the word eschewed mean. That you shun, that you avoid. He was perfect. He was blameless. He was good. He was honest. He was trustworthy. He was truthful. Powerful. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 7:1. I close. 2 Corinthians 7:1. A great passage. Everybody turn there, please. Children, teens, everybody turn there. 2 Corinthians 7:1. It says in Romans 3:18, quoting from Psalm 36:1, it says, there is no fear of God in their eyes. We have a whole generation that is growing up with no fear of God in their eyes. Do y'all know that? They don't fear God. They don't realize you're going to stand before God and give an account one day of everything done in your body, whether it be what? Good or bad. Every word, you're going to give an account of every word, Matthew says. Every word. Wow. And he's the Almighty, and he wants to bless you, but if you don't do for the blessing, he has to punish you. He's a just God. He's just not a loving God. He's a holy God. He's a just God. And he demands, you know, either you repent. I've made it so that you can get saved and you don't have to go to hell. Nobody should go to hell. Hell was made for the devil and his angels. Is that right? Nobody should go to hell. But if you don't repent and follow me and trust me and love me, my... Is that right? God, don't do it. I'm going to follow you. If you're not saved here this morning, you need to cry to Jesus to save your sinful soul. Amen? And He will save you. And He will give you joy and peace and meaning and purpose. And it's what it's all about. And these issues and blessing and eternal rewards. And you can have joy and peace. You can love and trust and serve and worship Him. And it's wonderful. They had no fear of God in their eyes. I don't care. I don't care what God says. I'm going to do what I want to. I'm going to cuss when I want to. I can say when I want to. I can treat people how I want to. No. I don't have to read my Bible. Yes, you do. And it's important. 2 Corinthians 7:1, I close. Having therefore these promises. Wow. That's why the Bible's so wonderful. God says, I'll do these to you if you walk with me. Dearly beloved, I love you. Let us cleanse ourselves, self-cleaning, from all filthiness, all defilement, all contaminants of the flesh and spirit, human spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. The word perfecting gives it like to be completing, to complete holiness, to move towards holiness, that I start and grow in holiness because of the fear of God. Because I fear God, I do right. I stay away from evil because I fear God, and it's growing. Aren't you glad you're in your Christian walk and you're not what it was 5 years ago, 6 years ago? Amen? There's things. I used to say these things and I don't anymore. I used to do these things to people. I used to lust after this. I used to have pride. I'm walking. My holiness is growing, huh? And I'm not perfect by no means. But it's sure good to walk with God. It's sure good to do right. I fear God. I fear God. Let's pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We're all going to stand before God one day. And He told us to be filled with the Spirit. And He wants you to be filled with the Spirit. He wants you to be empty of your flesh and filled with the Spirit. Not with wine or strong drink. Don't do it. Be filled with the Spirit. Be dominated, consumed, drunk with the Spirit. In giving thanks, just keep doing it. Be thankful. In singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with grace in your heart unto the Lord. Do it in the fear of God. Submitting yourselves, putting others first in the fear of God. Live daily in the fear of God. And then you will understand the love of God. Let me state this. You cannot understand the love of God unless you understand the fear of God. You can't understand your parents and them correcting you, disciplining you. You can't understand that. You say, well, that they don't love me. Let me tell you, if a parent doesn't discipline you and correct you, they don't love you. It's not the other way. If they love me, they just let me be what I am. No, if they let you be what you are, you will self-destruct. Fear God. The whole duty of man is to fear God and keep His commandments. How many this morning say, preacher, I needed this message. I needed this message. Raise your hand. Come on. If you're here this morning, you say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm a Christian. Pray for me. Man, I don't want to go to hell. I'm not sure I'm a Christian. Pray for me. I will not embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm a Christian. Can I pray with you? Anybody? Just raise your hand. Let me pray with you. I'd love to pray with you. I will not embarrass you. Anyone, please? I will pray for you. Lord Jesus, help us to understand the love and the fear of the Almighty. Lord, help us to let You light our fire so we can live for You, trusting You, serving You, sacrificing for You, understanding You, being blessed by You. Lord, fire us up to live every day in the fear of God and keeping His commandments. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.